Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues, on the American Family Radio Network. Appreciate you being with us today. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving weekend. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
And what was your favorite food you ate?
Well, my wife and I, over the last 5 or 6 years, have had barbecued ribs for Thanksgiving.
Right.
So that now
keep them guessing, Battagliano's.
Yes.
You don't necessarily go with your traditional turkey and dressing.
Well,
you'll throw them for a loop.
For so long, you know, when we pastored a church, we had our church Thanksgiving dinner on the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And, you know, at some point we just said, I don't really want any more turkey this week. So we said, let's do something. And I said, let's do something Southern. Let's go for ribs.
Right.
Now, you know, I couldn't go for, you know, any of the – I went for, you know, macaroni and cheese.
Yeah.
And
which is a vegetable in the South.
Which is a vegetable in the South. Coleslaw and some, you know, like Texas toast kind of thing. So it was awesome, and we had leftovers on Saturday. So.
All right. Fred Jackson, news director for American Family News and OneNewsNow.com is in studio with us. Fred, how are you?
We are back. We were here last week while you guys were away.
Yeah, you and Abe covered for us,
didn't
you?
Yeah, we had a busy time.
Appreciate you guys.
It wasn't like a quiet holiday week at all.
Appreciate you guys taking care of that for us. And Walker Wildman, our internet guru over there who keeps us updated on the World Wide Web. And Facebook and all that stuff. What do you got going on? What are you doing over there with that computer?
We're on Facebook Live now, so you can go onto our Facebook page, the Today's Issues Facebook page, and watch the show. Or if you want to listen to the shows afterwards, you can go to AFR.net and listen to the podcast.
So Facebook Live, we're video streaming.
Yeah, I ran into some supporters 2 weeks ago, and they said that you give me too much of a hard time.
That I do?
Yeah, and that it was unfair.
You ran into supporters. Wow. Well, this is like your wife.
No,
and,
listeners. They said, hey, well, I hear you on Today's Issues. Man, your dad sure does give you a hard time.
Right. Well, you just brought up one reason why maybe we will be perceived that way. A, I'm your dad, which gives me the right to, quote, be hard on you.
Air quotes.
And B, yeah. I'm your... quote, boss. So, two reasons why maybe it comes across that way, although I don't mean it to come across
but
that Dad, way.
But, Dad, I have a fan club.
No, but they like it.
Okay.
And I kind of would have to agree with you a little bit, because for a long time when you were on the show, he started off almost every time by saying that I supported for 18 years.
Yeah.
He ate my food for 18 years.
All right. Then if I weren't hard on him, though, people would say, man, you're just a wimp on your son.
He just runs
over you and everything like that. All right, so a lot to talk about, Fred. Unfortunately, we got some news going on right now that is not so good, right?
Yeah, we need prayers right now for students and faculty at Ohio State University. Just moments ago, the story broke that there was an active shooter on campus there in Columbus, Ohio. A student body of around 60,000 kids. We're getting varying reports at this point. We always have to be careful with these stories. There's one news agency saying that there's up to 7 people who have been injured, suffering from gunshots. CNN was saying 8 people shot, 1 critically. There's another report Ed was reading a moment ago about perhaps the shooter himself has been killed. So that's where we are with this. This story is unfolding moment by moment. We're watching it very closely. And even by the time we're through with this report, there may be something new coming up. So be in prayer right now for students, faculty, parents, et cetera, for folks at Ohio State University. Another event unfolding there involving an active shooter.
You know, Ohio State University may be the largest student body, on-campus student body in the country. I can't – maybe Penn State University or maybe University of Michigan may rival Ohio State. But, I mean, that's a – Mm-hmm. You're talking about 60,000 students. That's a, that's larger than most towns in America right there.
It's huge.
But anyway, yeah, mm-hmm. we need to be in prayer right now for those people because it's an active shooter situation. Ed, you said you read where the shooter's dead.
Well, this is from the website of the NBC affiliate in Columbus, Ohio. The headline says, suspect dead, 8 hospitalized following active shooter situation on Ohio State campus. But I'm looking through the story and do not see anything in the actual story itself indicating that the shooter is dead. So, as you said, Fred, this right. these kinds of things, when they happen, they're very fluid. There are certain things that people think are true that aren't. So there is a shooter, mm-hmm. and there have been certainly more than a half dozen hospitalized, and so we're going to continue to wait okay. for reports to come in to give us more details.
Okay.
And you know, obviously, mm-hmm. you know, for motive and those kind of things, we're going to have to wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, Fred, what else is in the news? We're getting closer and closer to a Trump presidency, aren't we? The president-elect, who's filling out his cabinet and so forth?
Yes, and even in this transition period, I guess we shouldn't expect any less from Donald Trump. There's been lots of controversy.
No.
Yeah.
Trump?
With Trump. He's back in New York.
Hard to believe.
He's back in the tower in New York with more appointments expected to be announced this week. But what was making news on the weekend, one of his trusted advisors, Kellyanne Conway,
I like her.
Oh, she's great.
Isn't she good?
Yeah.
She's some
excellent.
People say she saved his campaign.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, the timing of when she was brought on to run the campaign mm-hmm. certainly seems to give some credence to that.
Yeah. Well, she was making news on the weekend by basically an interview. One of the interviews she did is condemning the idea that Mitt Romney, Governor Mitt Romney, was even being considered for Secretary of State. You may remember back, 10 days ago, that Mitt Romney went to visit with Donald Trump at the tower there. Or I think
no,
it was
it's the golf course.
New Jersey, yeah, the golf course in New Jersey. And so people were, wait a minute now, Mitt Romney said some very nasty things about Trump during the campaign period. And
he said he was a phony.
Said phony, immoral. It went on and on and on. So Kellyanne Conway comes out and says, this is a wrong thing to do for him to Romney to even be considered for that post. And so it's people are interpreting that. Wait a minute now. She's at odds with her boss because she's still on the Trump team. So we don't know what's going to happen there. Some Newt Gingrich also saying there's no way that Mitt Romney should be Secretary of State. He should be.
Yeah, I don't know why Trump met with Mitt Romney. Honestly, I don't know what. Well, I can't, unless he's trying to build a bridge to the establishment of the Republican Party,
well,
which I don't think he needs.
You know, we were talking about this a little bit in one of our meetings this morning. My belief is there's no sense trying to look into the mind of Donald Trump because there lies madness. I'm not saying he's mad or crazy. I'm just saying trying to figure out what's going on in his mind because he you know, part of it may be he's just trying to reach out. I would, if I was going to guess, I would say he is trying to rebuild bridges with people who have criticized him, mm-hmm. but it seems like a bridge
too
far.
That's not his nature, though. Yeah. That's not his nature, Donald Trump. His nature is to, if you go after him, you pay for a long, long time.
Yeah.
That's at least the public persona that I have of Donald Trump. Now, I will say this. You on the flip side, you wonder why Mitt Romney, a guy who calls Donald Trump a phony, why do you want to go and meet with the guy?
Right.
What are you, begging for a job? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It sounds
a very wealthy man himself.
Yeah, he doesn't need, maybe he wants the prestige of being Secretary of State.
Secretary of State is a huge feather in your cap.
It's better than Vice President.
I think so. And I don't know how old Mitt Romney is, but if you have plans of maybe running again, I mean, you just
build your resume.
You've built your resume. Now you've not only been a governor and a successful businessman. Now you've been the Secretary of State. You know, in a
which and the Secretary of State to Ed's point is kind of the American face in the foreign world.
Right.
I mean, that is the face that you see mm-hmm. more often than the president. And so it's a bit.
But you don't
puzzling.
reward your. No. You know, well, you might say. I say your enemy. I mean, I would say Mitt Romney was the enemy of Donald Trump in the primary.
Oh, there's no process. Question about it.
I was thinking it wouldn't be the first time that something like that has happened because, I mean, after all, Barack Obama gave Hillary Clinton, his top rival, the Secretary of State.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Although I don't think they were ever as bitter against one another, that is Obama and Clinton, as Romney was against.
Not publicly, at least.
Yeah. Romney was against
Trump. The thing about
Trump.
If you appoint Romney as Secretary of State, do we think that all of Trump's hardcore foreign policy is going to get done? No, Romney's not going to be tough on anything.
That may be
anybody.
Why Kellyanne Conway, back to the original point, right. Point of the Fred's story here, is it just seems kind of odd that the public spokesperson for Donald Trump would disagree with Donald Trump publicly.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe Donald Trump, like it said, Tim, quit trying to figure out the mind of Donald Trump. Just go with it, okay? But Donald Trump, you know, he met with Mitt Romney for whatever reason he met with him. Now, he probably would have named him Secretary of State by now had he been serious about it.
It could have been a trial balloon. You know, they say you run it up the flagpole, see who salutes. I'm mixing metaphors now, but and then once he got a lot of blowback
from Kellyanne Conway,
maybe he sends Kellyanne Conway out there to say this is not going to happen.
All right, you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network, American Family Radio. Tim Wildman here with Ed Vitagliano and Walker Wildman. Keeping our Facebook. Did you post that story Fred just talked about up there?
Yeah, about Kellyanne Conway.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's there.
So go to our Today's Issues Facebook page, and Walker will be posting all the stories that we're talking about so that you can print them out for yourself or forward them to friends and family. What else you got there, Fred?
Well, obviously, other big news coming out of the weekend, the death of Fidel Castro. But almost making bigger news is the reaction to what Barack Obama had to say versus what Donald Trump had to say about the death of Fidel Castro. Here's what Donald Trump had to say. Today, the world marks the passing of a brutal dictator who oppressed his own people for nearly six decades. Fidel Castro's legacy is one of firing squads, theft, unimaginable suffering, poverty, and the denial of fundamental human rights. While Cuba remains a totalitarian island, it is my hope that today marks a move away from the horrors endured for too long and toward a future in which the wonderful Cuban people finally live in the freedom they so richly deserve.
Wow. That was Donald Trump's reaction to the death of Fidel Castro?
That's exactly right.
Okay, what did President Obama have to say?
Direct quote from President Obama. Today, we offer our condolences
to
Fidel.
Change your voice cadence, Fred.
I'm trying to get in the mood here.
Okay.
Today, we offer condolences to Fidel Castro's family, and our thoughts and prayers are with the Cuban people. For nearly six decades, the relationship between the United States and Cuba was marked by discord and profound political disagreements. During my presidency, we have worked hard to put the past behind us, pursuing a future in which the relationship between our two countries is defined not by our differences, but by the many things that we share as neighbors and friends, bonds of family, culture, commerce, and common humanity.
Won't you be my neighbor?
What do you make of what President Obama's saying there, Ed?
Well, you know what? I'll say this. I disagreed with him normalizing relationships with Cuba while Fidel Castro was still alive. I think what he has sent there is simply what presidents do. You know, in the wake of a controversial figure's death, the Cuban people now, you know, is probably his target. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. The fact that he normalized relations with Cuba while Fidel Castro was still alive, he's a brutal dictator, I think was the real mistake that President Obama made. And I'll say this, I'm for anything that will bring about the end of communism in Cuba the quickest.
Yeah.
If I thought normalizing relations with Cuba would do that, I would be in favor.
Yeah, but
of that.
I haven't understood. Don't get what I'm about to say is going to sound pro-communist. I am not a communist.
I am not now, nor have I ever been.
No, a communist. But I don't understand why we treat Cuba any differently than we treat communist China. We communist China is our biggest trading partner,
mm-hmm.
and Cuba. You know, what's the difference? So I've never understood that.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, except that it's, you know, that they're in our
Richard
hemisphere.
Nixon.
Yeah.
Richard Nixon, a Republican, built the bridge to China.
Yeah.
And we have today our relationship with them as it such as it is, and where they're our largest trading partners, I understand it. Well, and yet you get arrested for bringing Cuban cigars.
Well,
back
the only thing I would say that's different is that Cuba was not only in our hemisphere, 90 miles from the
okay.
coast of Florida, but during the Castro regime for almost 60 years now, he actively supported communist uprisings in mm-hmm. Latin
yes.
America.
Yeah.
So
that's
a
very good point.
I would say that he was. He was active in trying to turn our own hemisphere communist, and I think that's probably – I mean, I can't explain – I can't answer your question because I would have to read the minds of other politicians maybe equally as hard as Donald Trump. But I would say, in my mind, that was always a difference.
But I think there's also the profile of the Cuban exiles in this country is much higher than those who have immigrated to here from China. When you have these Cuban exiles who are very politically active
right.
and have brought to the forefront the cruelty that they felt, that they experienced, and that they still have relatives there, that they came to this country by boats, arriving on the beaches in Miami, and hoping that someday their country will be free. Their story has been paramount. Even during the election campaign, you remember, they played a factor. And then, of course, you have Marco Rubio. You have Ted Cruz. You have Ted Cruz's dad, Rafael,
right.
all major storytellers of what has been going on in Cuba, and to this day say it hasn't become any better.
Well, and you can't forget the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Mm-hmm.
The Cuba played a key role in that. Obviously, that's why the name is that. But when you have a country like Ed said that's 90 miles from the U.S. shoreline, and you normalize relationships with them with no strings attached, then you're almost condoning their behavior. With China, there are reports that they're kind of inching towards a more free society because of the capitalism and stuff that's going on there. They almost can't keep everybody in wraps.
Mm-hmm.
But Cuba is proudly suppressing and sometimes murdering people with no issue, and Obama just says, well, we're just going to normalize relations.
I understand it. But just trying to, in my mind, separate mm-hmm. how we treat communist China, how we treat communist Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
But I understand the things you've said, especially Ed, about spreading communism throughout Central America and South America is valid. You know,
when you look at the poverty in Cuba, and a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go there on a mission trip with Trans World Radio, and you know, there's the spin that we see in this. But we had the opportunity to experience the reality. To Walker's point, you go to Shanghai today or Beijing, they're big modern cities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You
right.
don't see that even in Havana. And as you go further east, you know, Cuba's about 400 miles.
Are they stuck
long.
In the 50s?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's
is that why you see these cars that look like vintage American cars? That
yeah, and what they've done is put diesel engines in from Russia, but you see these old cars there. But, you know, for the most part, as you travel outside of Havana, what you're seeing, to your point, is a third world impoverished nation. I mean, the transportation service in Cuba exists. Many times we would see dump trucks with benches on them, and that's how people get from point to point.
They don't have the internet. Most of the country doesn't even have the internet.
No. You see these little pictures along the north shore of Cuba. They've developed a tourism industry for Europeans who come in and Canadians who come in, and it looks good. But the people have not benefited from that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. All the money goes into the coffers.
So
Fidel Castro lived like a playboy billionaire.
Right.
That's how he
that's
lived.
How the dictators, that's how right. dictators, that's how Saddam Hussein, that's the history of kings and dictatorships. They live in the lap of luxury while, but these socialist communist actors and celebrities and pundits out there who laud, you know, Fidel Castro's Cuba for having a great educational system or a great healthcare system, and You know, it's just like what Donald Trump said in his quote. The guy was a brutal dictator. There's a reason why people risk their lives to get in boats to swim to try to cross and get 90 miles to Florida.
To this day.
Yeah.
To this day.
Yeah.
Well, if you're going to say that he, you know, good education system and health care, those kind of arguments in favor of Fidel Castro, I have seven words for you. Okay. Mussolini made the trains run on time. Okay. Now, he was the fascist dictator in Italy at the time that Adolf Hitler came to power. And that's the only argument in defense of Mussolini was he made the trains run on time. So there are always ways to defend what a dictator might accomplish. I mean, Adolf Hitler built the Autobahn. You know, I mean, Adolf Hitler did some, you know, under his regime, did some amazing things in Germany. Okay, but that doesn't excuse his wickedness.
Right.
And Fidel Castro, you know, the man he overthrew, Fulgencio Batista, was a dictator in Cuba. Now, he was pro-Western, and he was not a communist. When the communists took over under Fidel Castro, the expectation on the part of the Cuban people was that he was going to institute a people's paradise, so much so that his own sister, who fought with Fidel Castro and his brother Raul to overthrow Batista, she broke ranks from her brothers when she began to see what they did.
They were doing the same thing they were fighting against. Mm-hmm. But they to this day they still call it the revolution,
right? Mm-hmm.
Because I saw on TV Raul Castro, the brother of Fidel Castro, who himself looks like he's a senior citizen.
Fidel was 90. Wasn't 90 yeah, years 90. Old.
So don't you think? You think Fred? I don't know how much you've studied the what happens post Castro, but you've got another Castro now take over his brother. Who's basically been in charge, as I understand it, for the last few years anyway, since right. Fidel.
This headline from Breitbart will tell you a little bit.
Okay.
It'll sum up all of this discussion. Okay. North Korea commands 3-day mourning period for Fidel Castro.
Okay. So if North Korea's in mourning about your death, then what does that say?
That helps us grasp
who
Fidel Castro is.
Perhaps one of the more sickening things, too, has been the reaction of Prime Minister Trudeau in Canada. He has been getting a lot of flack. His daddy, former Prime Minister of Canada, Pierre Elliott Trudeau, was a good buddy of Fidel Castro. In fact, when Pierre Elliott Trudeau died, Castro was an honorary pallbearer at Trudeau's funeral. And so this is what Justin Trudeau had to say. While a controversial figure, both Mr. Castro's supporters and detractors recognized his tremendous dedication and love for the Cuban people, who had a deep and lasting affection for El Comandante. He continued, Castro was a legendary revolutionary and orator, and that his death at 90 had brought him, Justin Trudeau, deep sorrow. Well, the reaction even on this side of the border to that, Senator Marco Rubio called those remarks by Trudeau shameful and embarrassing, and Senator Ted Cruz called it slobbering adulation. And I tell you what, Trudeau deserves those comments.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Well, so anyway, I wondered, we don't have time to talk about it now. We'll talk about it maybe tomorrow. I wonder what happens post Castro. Is there a chance maybe when Raul dies that, you know, there will be a true revolution for freedom?
Well, the guy who's next in the chain of command, Miguel Canel, I think, he's 55, but he's a communist. He was the youngest member to make it to the Politburo.
But I wonder if there's a chance for an upright. You know, I'm just guessing. I'm wondering.
I hope,
If you have two of the, if there's a, you know, a chance for a coup or something to bring more freedom to the Cuban people. Thank you, Fred.
All right, you're welcome.
OneNewsNow.com is where you can find the information Fred talked about, or on our Today's Issues Facebook page.
On the next Today's Issues, the cabinet of the new administration continues to take shape despite the distraction of a possible recount.
You have millions of undocumented illegal immigrants who voted in the national election. You have millions purportedly of dead people who voted. Mm-hmm. When you begin to peel those layers back, I wouldn't be surprised to find that Hillary Clinton didn't win the popular vote.
That's next time on Today's Issues. Weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on AFR.
We are going to the Holy Land in March. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association and American Family Radio. I only lead one tour a year to Israel. It's not my day job. It's just an annual tour that I do as I learn from my dad how to take folks to Israel. And we're going to have a wonderful experience. Most of the folks going are listeners to American Family Radio, are supporters of American Family Association. And we're going to have a great time March 9th through the 17th. If you want information on this tour of the Holy Land, you can do it two ways. You can call us at 800-FAMILIES, option 5. 1-800-FAMILIES, option 5. That's families with an S. And leave us your name and your address, and we'll put a brochure in the mail to you. And if you want to go online, you can visit us at twholyland.com. twholyland.com. Again, won't be long till we close out this tour, so if you want more information, let us know.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and Commentary next. Many of you folks are pretty upset at Penzi's, the spice company. The owner sent a letter to customers accusing the Republican Party of embracing racism. Penzi's operates dozens of retail outlets in 29 states. In a follow-up letter, CEO Bill Penzi doubled down on his belief that Donald Trump supporters are irredeemable deplorables. Apparently, the guy's been smoking too much oregano. So here are a few thoughts about this mess. First, Mr. Penzi has a constitutional right to call his customers a bunch of deplorable racists. But those customers have a constitutional right to take their business elsewhere. And I'm sure the good people down at Food City or Piggly Wiggly would be more than happy to sell you some red pepper flakes. You know, if Mr. Penzi only wants liberals purchasing his product, so be it. Although, I've always found that variety is the spice of life. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. And I certainly did. Walker, why don't you let our listeners know, some of those who are watching online, where they can go for more information?
Yeah, if you want to find out more about the articles we discuss here on Today's Issues, you can go to the Today's Issues Facebook page. And if you're not a Facebook fan, that's fine. I don't even have a Facebook myself. You can go to afr.net and listen to the show archive.
You don't have a Facebook page yourself?
I do not. I use my brother's to manage Facebook pages, but I myself do not have a Facebook page. All I have is Twitter.
Now, I find that very interesting. A millennial. I thought, well, now I have heard that a lot of millennials left Facebook when old codgers like me went and got a Facebook page. Is that anything to that?
Yes. I left Facebook years ago.
On a personal level.
On a personal level, which is ironic and kind of hypocritical. I'm using it right now, and I'm promoting
it right now. You're our Facebook guy right now, and you don't even use it.
But no, I got off Facebook. There was just so much information there. It was kind of intrusive. Birthday, your address, pictures, I mean, everything.
Yeah.
And
I don't think you're a bad person for not being on it.
No,
I'm just surprised.
Well, I just don't have time to tell people where I'm shopping tonight and what I'm having for dinner. Like
that sounds like a healthy dose of paranoia to me.
I just don't have time to make sure.
Did y'all formally introduce Jeremy over here?
No,
You just ignored him?
I just ignored him.
That's okay.
I just got back from the popcorn machine.
But he jumped in.
Sorry I'm late. Welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with David Tagliano and our Facebook guru over there, Walker Wildman, who doesn't use Facebook.
But knows all about it.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Go to our Today's Issues Facebook page. And Jeremy Wiggins is here every Monday to talk about stuff in the news that interests him. I got to say, Jeremy, I'm talking about Facebook. I don't do Facebook either. Personally,
right.
On a personal level, but I used to have, but we used to, I've mentioned this before, about 10, 15 years ago, whenever Facebook really began to get popular, we had a Facebook page for the ministry.
Right.
For American Family Association. And I think my name was on there.
And your picture or something.
And my
too.
Picture. So we had our internet guy ask me, do you want to do the Facebook?
This Facebook thing.
And I just said, sure. I mean, he said, I really think that'll benefit our, outreach mm-hmm. and everything. So we put my picture on there, and I had people I would see out in public, and they would, at Walmart or whatever, and they'd be, oh, I tried to friend you, and you didn't respond. And I'm like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
We are friends. What do you mean friends?
We've been friends since high school. I mean, good to see you again.
We were in kindergarten together. What are you talking about?
Yeah, and you won't even friend me. I don't even... You just think you're too good for everybody now because you're on the radio, or what's wrong with you? And I don't even know what they're talking about. It was really strange.
They thought it was your personal Facebook page.
They thought it was my personal Facebook page, and I was not accepting them, and I didn't even have a clue. It's like me. I also don't see distances that well without my glasses on.
Right.
So I'll be driving down the road in town, and somebody will say, well, I honked at you and waved at you, and you looked right at me and didn't wave back.
Do your glasses affect your hearing as well?
So you're stuck up, are you? Or you're rude or something. I didn't even see you. I don't know what you're talking about.
I know we got important things to discuss. Yeah. But
Not any more than my vision.
I will say this, because I wear contacts, but I wear one for far off and one that's a little bit less than it should be so that I can read up close. But it does affect my vision off a little bit.
Right.
So it's a little blurry.
Yeah.
So there are times when someone like in the mall or something, someone will, whatever, wave.
Right.
And I'm going, I can't tell who that is. Do I wave back?
Yes.
Right. Are they waving at me?
I saw you waving at that blonde. What was up with that?
Well, you have to follow typical. I didn't know this until I moved to the South, but apparently you wave to everyone.
Yes.
Like if you, and it doesn't have to be a full wave. You can do the two fingers off the steering wheel is considered a greeting.
But if you know somebody and you just wave and don't stop and say hi, then that can be considered rude.
I learned you wave even if they're waving at the person behind you. You just wave anyway.
Yeah, you just be friendly. That's all you can do.
I've had that happen to me multiple times, though. People go, man, they'll see me somewhere that, man, I waved at you the other day. And you didn't even wave.
I feel your pain.
And I'm going, I'm sorry, man. I didn't even see you. I have bad eyesight from a distance. Anyway.
I tell my wife, I'm pretty sure it was a redhead I waved at. I don't know if that
not
makes
a blonde.
That makes it any better, but it usually doesn't.
And he waved back at you.
Oh, okay.
And in other important news, all right, what do you got of us for Jeremy on Monday mornings?
Hey, Jeremy, you got to tell him. We were talking about Fidel Castro before the break. So something happened down in Miami, an NFL game yesterday.
Yeah, there's a football game apparently yesterday in Miami.
49ers.
Yes, and Colin Kaepernick, the world's most infamous quarterback, did not get – well, he got a little bit of
this
his
is
own –
Colin take a knee, Kaepernick, because America's racist and bad, right?
And he didn't vote either.
Right. And he was wearing a Fidel Castro T-shirt. This is before Fidel Castro died. He was asked by a Cuban journalist about that, and they went back and forth, and things got kind of heated, and he defended Fidel Castro.
Yeah, and Mike Huckabee has since come out and raked him over the coals for
just to be clear here, the court, for those who don't follow the NFL, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers is Colin Kaepernick. He's the guy who takes the knee during the national anthem and doesn't like – America is racist and – all other kinds of problems, so he's not going to respect the flag or our country. So he lauds communist dictator Fidel Castro by wearing a T-shirt of his, and he goes to Miami. The 49ers go to play the Miami Dolphins yesterday.
Strong Cuban-American
population.
So this is almost like you can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
San Francisco 49ers, go to play the Miami Dolphins. As you say, a strong Cuban influence in that part of the state down there. And they They really let him have it, didn't they?
They did not appreciate his fashion sense over the
he
week.
He got booed. Somebody said...
Well, it was Brian Fisher, yeah, who's a big San Francisco 49ers fan. He said, I have never seen a game where the booing got that loud. He said, even after a bad call on the field, he said, it was humongous, the outcry, the booing, every time Kaepernick touched the ground. Plus... You going to mention what happened at the end of the game?
No, I was just going to say this is just another example of the complete lack of common sense in the United States when you go to Miami wearing a Fidel Castro T-shirt as a public figure.
Mm. Well, the 49ers were down by a touchdown. It was fourth and goal. Colin Kaepernick ran the ball, got stopped at the goal line, and was plowed under by a Miami Dolphin who's the son of a Cuban immigrant.
This is a movie.
It is.
It will be.
Yeah.
Next
year. Plowed him over, preventing the touchdown. And so that
Yeah. That is like you can't make this you can't make this up.
Well, and to go along with that, you know, Colin Kaepernick is a Black Lives Matter supporter. And I saw
by the way, if his hair gets any bigger, it won't be able to fit under the
I think he's cut.
Did he cut it? Okay.
He's cut it.
All right.
But Black Lives Matter issued a statement how they're very upset that Fidel Castro has died.
Black Lives Matter is a sympathizer of Fidel Castro's.
So North Korea.
I know we're all shocked.
Well, that
here.
Only confirms what we've been saying, what people have been warning
That's
about.
That's according
the Black
to
Lives,
Drudge.
The Black Lives Matter movement, that they are.
It's clearly a Marxist.
They're a Marxist, they're not really civil rights driven like Martin Luther King Jr.
Setting aside I'm sure there are real complaints out there. I want to make sure our listeners understand, not unsympathetic. You know, there are minority communities.
But you're talking about the organization itself.
The organization itself.
Is motivated by a Marxist ideology.
And they say right on their Facebook page, their website, their homepage, that they are against the nuclear family model. They do not believe that one man, one woman, they're against that model. And therefore, they are for a village raising the child kind of thing. So, it's definitely an organization that people should take a look at if they are supportive of it. If people are Christian and they're supportive of Black Lives Matters, I think they ought to take a strong look at their website and determine whether that's something a Christian.
The name is deceiving.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The name is deceiving.
Right. Yeah. Black lives do matter.
Right.
As do all lives.
And nobody said that they don't.
Matter. Right. But the organization itself has got real serious
problems. And they've been
labeled
by some representatives, some legislators, as a domestic terrorist group. Because of some of the cop slayings and some of the rhetoric that they put out.
Did President Obama host them in the White House?
I don't remember hearing that.
I don't think he's criticized them, though.
I think he's talked on the phone to them, to some of the leaders, but I don't think he's actually hosted them at the at the White House.
Okay. All right. We don't know any more, by the way, just about the story out of Ohio State University. Do we know any more, Ed, over there?
Well, there are now reports that at least one suspect is dead, at least nine injured about an hour after an active shooter situation was reported at Ohio State University. And there are now we've mentioned this at the top of the show, these things are fluid sometimes, so we'll get reports that later on we'll have to come back and change. But now there may be more than one person in handcuffs with one suspect dead. And
Don't know anything about the reason.
No.
The reason,
nothing.
The motive of the shooter or anything like that.
There are reports, this is from a Daily Mail.
I'm sorry, we don't need a motive. It's gun violence. I'm sorry, we don't need motives anymore. Excuse me, I'm making a point here, folks. I know this is...
Well, some news agencies are stating, like Drudge, and I think Walker used it as Daily Mail, are saying that it might have been a machete attack, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, gunshots rang out, and they found a machete. So I don't know whether it was used on people or not.
Well...
So,
Interesting thing. I did a little research on what is the concealed carry status for students at the Ohio State University. Are they allowed to carry a weapon on campus? Mm-hmm. And Ohio has a ban with an exception, meaning they can have a gun on campus. It just has to be locked in their vehicle. So that they are not allowed to have it in the dorm room or on their personal person. It can be on campus. It just has to be basically at mom and dad's house halfway across the country. I'm surprised they allow that.
Mm-hmm. Because I know at a local university here in Mississippi that I attended, you couldn't even have it in your vehicle. If you were going duck hunting that afternoon, you couldn't have your shotgun in your vehicle, even if it was unloaded and all this stuff. So, I mean, I'm even surprised they allow guns on campus, period.
It's one of eight states with bans with that exception. Florida, Georgia, Nebraska, North Carolina, North Dakota, South Carolina, Ohio, and Tennessee. They can have it locked in their car, which basically does you no good unless someone's trying to carjack you if you're sitting in the car.
Right.
But for when you're in the classroom setting, that does you absolutely no good.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Ohio State University, I was looking, I mentioned that I knew it was one of the largest universities in America in terms of student population, and they are, according to Wikipedia, it's the only the University of Central Florida, and which is in Orlando, which has 63,000 students. Texas A&M University in College Station has 58.
These are on campus.
This isn't online. Mm. This is physical.
Or commuters.
These are bodies. And then Ohio State University has 55,000 students. So
that's the third largest?
Yeah, it's the third largest university in America, and I'm sitting here. I don't know. Walker, you've been to Columbus, have you?
Columbus, Ohio?
Yeah. We had an event up there not too long ago. And we have a lot of listeners in the Columbus area, but that's the size of a city.
Oh,
it's
a very populated area, so, Columbus is.
You know, 55,000 students. You're talking about a city with probably security, campus security, larger than most police forces in America. But anyway, so that's a lot of, my point is, that's a lot of area to be gun-free.
Right.
As far as people being able to carry themselves.
It's a lot to manage.
But you're saying you can
have a gun on campus, but
you can't bring it to class.
You can't bring it to class. You can't keep it in your dorm room, and you can't carry it on your person in between classes. It has to be locked in your car. So in a state of emergency like this, if a person wanted to have their firearm, they would have to go to their vehicle, wherever that may be, which a lot of times your car is not anywhere near you if you live on campus, depending. And with Ohio State being so large, the odds of you being anywhere near your vehicle are pretty slim.
Yeah, these gun control measures are a headache, because here in Mississippi, they've authorized concealed carry with a certain license on campus, even if you're a student, if you're a Mississippi citizen. But the universities regulate so much that the university's standards bypass the state law. So the state law says you can carry. The school policy says you can't carry. And the school determines whether you're enrolled there or not, and they can boot you if they want to. Mm-hmm. So if you get caught with a firearm while the state law says you can have it, the school policy says you can't,
That really doesn't make any sense that a state university, whether it's in Mississippi or another state, would regulations or whatever you want to call it, would override state law.
Well, they don't. I think if you took it to court, it doesn't override. The state law would prevail, most likely.
Right.
But just the fact that the school will kick you out if you violate it.
Yeah, you're not going to go to jail for violating it, but the school doesn't have to let you.
You'll be.
Go
to
I
school.
Gotta tell you, now I'm Second Amendment guy, but obviously support the Second Amendment and the right for people to defend themselves and bear arms. But I get torn on this issue right here, because I don't know if I want to go to class with people carrying guns in their holsters. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like the Wild Wild West. Like I'm going to Gunsmoke University or something like that. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying?
You know, I agree with you, and that's a discussion that you can be had. What kills me, though, is that when they don't allow the security guards to carry weapons on campus.
Exactly.
When
that's
even
insanity.
They cannot carry. So you've got, you know, a security guard. Not only is it
it's a security guard monitor.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen these commercials?
With the radio. All they have is a radio. They don't even have mace or a beaten stick or anything. They just have a radio.
You're telling me they're campus security? They don't carry weapons?
They don't even have pepper spray?
No, I don't know.
They don't carry guns?
No, the campus police have firearms, but like at the mall security guy most likely doesn't have a firearm.
Well, I don't know if I want Barney Fife.
Well, they need to have more need to have more qualified people. If they are not qualified enough to be trusted to carry a pistol on their side, they probably shouldn't be hired in the first place. Because what are they supposed like you? They're what do they do?
Paul Blart, mall cop. You
know.
They call the real the security would call the real police, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of an unnecessary step almost.
I'm not because
I can call them just
right.
Like,
sure.
Yeah.
I'm not for 15 and 14 year olds toting their shotguns to class.
But, well, that's good.
But the state laws should be able to provide if you get a certain qualification and a license.
I agree.
And maybe you pass a test that you should and you're responsible. You should be able to carry for self defense purposes.
Yeah. Now. Go ahead,
Walt. I was going to say, I understand what both of you guys are saying. It does make me nervous sometimes seeing people because I don't know what's in their head. Mm-hmm. Here's the other side of the issue is, as I was reading some of the comments, now these are sarcastic comments underneath a very serious story, and we're talking about an active shooter at Ohio State University with multiple casualties happening today. But the comments were very sarcastic, but they were raising a good point. They were saying, well, how in the world did that gun get in a gun-free zone? You know, doesn't it know any better? Or didn't these shooters know any better? Didn't they know this is a gun-free zone? That's the opposite side of the issue. Anybody who wants to do harm in their college classroom, for example, you stole my girl, I'm going to kill you, they could leave campus and come back with their weapon.
Right.
Defying the law because
they're not rule followers.
Because they're not rule followers, and they intend to kill someone anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if I perhaps go to what Walker said, you can have a gun on campus if you go through a campus, lesson.
Right.
And so now you're qualified, and we know that you're
responsible. like what happened at Virginia Tech University a few years back had just a professor or somebody had their pistol or gun in the classroom, all those people wouldn't have had to die.
Accessible. Right. That's the key word, accessible. Yeah. Like it doesn't, like you said, Tim, having it in their holster, but I mean, there are plenty of options that you can get for
a briefcase or something
in your backpack.
If you think about it, not everybody wants to carry a gun everywhere they go.
Yeah.
And I think if you passed a law where people could conceal carry on campuses, you're not going to have a flood of people toting their guns in.
No, you're going to potentially prevent. Now, if you got somebody who's a nut job, they may not care about what I'm about to say, but they might. And that is, if you don't know who has a gun, you're less likely to just go running up in a classroom and start firing away, or on campus somewhere. If you don't know, hey, somebody else might have a gun, they might shoot me. You know what I'm saying? Rather than saying, I've got a gun and this is a gun-free zone, I'm fixing to just mow down people because I know that law-abiding citizens are not going to have any guns.
They're following the law
to stop. You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know if most people who commit these kinds of acts think that logically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I know you would have somebody that would be for instance, a jihadist. Mm-hmm. They would think that way.
Anytime you have a soft target like schools, malls, train stations, that is places where there are large concentrations of people with low people to security ratio and a ban on personal firearms.
It's a recipe for
disaster, and terrorists will look for these kinds of targets. Mm-hmm. I took a class on terrorism when I was in the Air Force, and we had a guy from the Joint Terrorism Task Force come out and talk about these kinds of soft targets. And anytime you have, like I said, large groups of people, limited firearms, like you can't carry a firearm at the mall. It's got the little signs right there.
Right.
Well, bad guys don't follow signs. Right. So really, that's a part of the conversation that it seems like progressives and people who are anti-Second Amendment don't want to seem to have is, what about Joe Citizen, who is a law-abiding citizen, who all he wants to do is protect his family from a bad guy who's not going to follow any of the laws that you pass?
You're
going to
hear it today, folks. Watch about this story out of Ohio State University with this shooting that's going on. I don't know. Maybe it's over by now in terms of the action. But you're going to hear it. Here's what you're going to hear the liberal media say, and you just watch for it. They're going to say, they're going to have people on, and here's the expression they're going to use. Gun violence struck again today. Mm-hmm. Or we have gun violence is out of control in America. Mm-hmm. They're going to talk as if the individual is not responsible, but rather the guns got out of bed this morning, had breakfast, left the house looking for somebody to kill on their own. That's the way they describe it. There's very little, call for personal responsibility, holding this person personal responsible. They'll say something like, we just don't know how this person got.
Unless it's the cop.
Control of
unless
a gun.
Unless the cop shoots.
Now, then if it's a cop, it's not gun violence.
It's the cop
doing something terrible because they were a raceless or something like that. But if it's a criminal committing an act, then it's gun violence, as if the person is not responsible for their actions.
Yeah, as if the object.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Jeremy Wiggins joins us each Monday at 10:30 to 11 to enlighten us. Share his thoughts about the world around us. He's doing that now. Walker Wildman keeping our Facebook page going over there. What's up there now on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, because I like the story, I like the truth behind the story.
Okay.
I posted the Breitbart story about North Korea commands 3-day mourning period for Fidel Castro. That's up on our Facebook page.
How do you mourn in North Korea? What's that any different than
however they tell you to?
Well, I know, but my say is you mourn every day because you're in North Korea.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah, what's the difference? What do you have a fast
or
something? I'm not making light of it. I'm making a point. Life is
every day is mourning there.
Yeah, life is horrible in North Korea. So what? Go ahead.
I also posted the Kellyanne Conway and Mitt Romney discussion, her comments on Mitt Romney. And lastly, I just posted the Ohio State active shooter situation on our Facebook page.
We got time. We got 2 minutes, Jeremy. What you got? Any sunshine to share?
Oh, I got some funnies.
Okay,
I guess.
Go ahead.
It's not really funny. It's not funny. Ha ha. You know, it's kind of smack your forehead.
Well, now you got 90 seconds.
Well, now you know Justin Trudeau was out there. He's in deep mourning for the loss over
Prime
Fidel
Minister
Castro.
Of Canada.
Yes, and he has just been absolutely raked over the coals on Twitter. With hashtag Trudeau eulogies. And it's so absurd to hear him memorialize a brutal dictator that people have come up with some of their own. And I've got a couple of the more funnier ones. Like, as we mourn Emperor Caligula, let us always remember his steadfast devotion to Senate reform.
Caligula being the mad Roman emperor.
Today we bid farewell to Genghis Khan, the former Mongolian leader best known for opening new trade routes to China. Today we honor Pablo Escobar, a true small businessman and unlicensed pharmacist.
And, drug dealer.
And one more, this is for all you Lord of the Rings fans, saddened about the passing of Sauron, who, while heavy-handed, did advocate for open borders and usher in an industrial era.
Those are perfect counterpoints to those saying Fidel Castro improved education in Cuba.
That'd be like saying, we're sorry to hear about the death of Hitler. He
unified Germany.
Germany helped the German people.
It's not reality.
Yeah.
It's not reality.
All right. We've got to take a break right here for news and information. And Jeremy, thanks for tell us about your show on Saturday.
Saturday morning, 6 a.m. Central Time on American Family Radio, facebook.com/AFR.
What's the name of it?
The Trenches.
In the Trenches with Jeremy Wiggins. We'll be back in 5 minutes after the news. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.